We're going to start again. Just I know that you heard last week's share and you didn't, but what I wanted to do tonight anyway was last week I basically gave the different sheets in the Rishayim, and I didn't go through the Halacha L'maisa. So this week we'll run through it again. Maybe we won't take as much time as we took last week, but we'll go through the Makaris, and we will go to Halacha L'maisa. So, again, just by way of background, we start off with the Issur HaMir L'Akum. The Issur HaMir L'Akum is, you're not allowed to tell a guy to do Malacha for you on Shabbos. And, yeah, we had a bunch of sources of what the problem may be. That was topic number one. Topic number two is, if a non-Jew does a Malacha for a Jew on Shabbos, he performs any one of the Lamatas Malachas, at least Midaraisa, and then we'll discuss Rabbanan as well. If he does any Malacha or anything that's Asar on Shabbos for a Jew, and the halacha is, a Jew is not allowed to benefit from that malacha. So those are the two topics we have to cover every time we discuss an issue of Amir L'Akum. Now, the way that we understand it, the way the Mishnah Berurah, this is a sheet of Taisus, the way Mishnah Berurah brings it down, is that the reason why it can't be nena from a malacha, which is done on Shabbos, by a non-Jew, is because if you are able to be nena from it, then you will be encouraged to ask him to do it the following week. So that being the case, Chazal didn't want you to have any encouragement to ask a non-Jew to do Malacha Kfor. Even if you asked him, you can't benefit from it, so what's the point? Now, because that is the reason why it's Asar, we're going to see, and I mentioned this many times in the past, that in certain cases, it's going to be Mutar to be Nana from the Malacha. Now, and one of the examples we gave the first time, the first chair, was if for some reason you won't ask him, and this, let's say the person is a Jew, right? So a Jew, he's not Shemar Shabbos. So if he does a malacha for you, so again, the Prima Gadim was mitzadid in this. He wasn't sure. He went back and forth. If he does a malacha for you, will you ask him to do another malacha? Most likely not, because the guy's Jewish. So as much as you could ask him to do the malacha, you could do it yourself. So first of all, the way that Mishnah Berurah writes it is he won't listen to you. And second of all, it's a problem of Lifnei Iver. I mean, it doesn't really say Lifnei Iver, but ultimately, that's what we came out with, is that, there is Lifnei Iver. There's Lifnei Iver because, it's as we explained last time, that there's a problem of Lifnei Iver because it's giving an Eitzesh Eina Hagenas. In other words, the bottom line is, it's not necessarily relevant to a Jew. Now, getting into the topic of Amira, what we're going to discuss today is that in certain cases, it's actually mutter to go over to a non-Jew and explicitly ask him to do a malacha on Shabbos. To actually go ahead and do a malacha on Shabbos. Now, we're going to see that it's a big machlekes which malachas under which circumstances. But again, since the reason why one would not be able to benefit from malacha is because we don't want you to ask a non-Jew to do malacha for you in the future, in a case where it's mutter to ask him, what do we have to worry about? You know, you'll worry to do the same thing next week. If it was mutter this week, it's mutter next week. So in any case where it's mutter to ask him to do the malacha, it's also mutter for you to be nana from the malacha. The first case we're going to discuss is the tzara chayla. Tzara chayla, again, I mentioned this last week, and we'll mention it again. Tzara chayla does not mean someone who is in a situation of pikuach nefesh. Someone whose life is in danger is not considered a chayla in this discussion. He's considered a chayla sheish b'sakana. There's a mitzvah, there's a chiyus b'michal Shabbos to save his life, and it's asur to go ask chaylas about that. You have to go save the guy's life immediately. We're discussing chayla here, we're talking about the category of chayla called chayla she'ein b'sakana, but he's a chayla. In other words, he's sick. He could be classified as sick. He's not well, he's ill, but he has no sakana. A standard case of that would be somebody who has some kind of virus, he has the flu, he has strep, whatever it is, it's a real illness. He's not well, something's wrong with him, but at the same time there's no sakana. Now, the way we define this, we'll see this in Shulchan Aruch very soon, is that if a person is chayla kal gufa, that means he's not functioning properly. He doesn't have the ability to function. Now, it doesn't mean he has to actually be in bed. We'll see it very clearly in Shulchan Aruch, but it's a type of illness that a person would go to bed for. In other words, it's not the fact that he's in bed has nothing to do. In other words, you don't need to be lying in bed to be this chayla. You have to be somebody who would go to bed for it. So let's start from the beginning. The Gemara in Beis Amud Aleph says, I don't want to get into the whole discussion because it's very off topic, but there was a discussion over there about a Memar being matter a person to do some type of eye treatment, and the Gemara is trying to figure out, a Memar was matter someone to ask a non-Jew to do this treatment for him on Shabbos, and the Gemara was asking why. And the Gemara says, my daitech, what was your logic? Is your logic the Amar Ula Breder of Eloi Kol Tzarchi Chayla Oysenai Deinarchi B'Shabbos? Is it because of this age-old concept that we know that a person is allowed to ask a non-Jew to do all the tzrachim, all the needs of a chayla? So we see clearly that the Gemara understands that the needs of a chayla are permitted to be done through the hands of a non-Jew on Shabbos. So that's clear in the Gemara. Where do we see that? In Shulchan Aruch Siman Shin Chav Ches, in Sif Yud Zayin. It's a very long Sif, and there's a lot going on there. It's very confusing. But what it says over here, chayla shnafa machmas chayla v'mishkav, somebody who, because of his illness, went to sleep, he fell asleep, vein by sakana, but he has no sakana. So now, there's a bunch of different opinions of what can be done. Now the Ramah right away writes what we said, Aish yesh le mechesh, he has a pain, shemit stire, he's very uncomfortable, v'chal mimeno kol gufa, his entire functioning is affected by it, sha'az afa pish tohel kenaf l'mishka v'dam, even though he's actually walking, and some people never succumb to their beds. There are some people who just don't have time. They don't want to go to bed, they're too busy, they're too macho, they just can't go to bed. That doesn't mean he's not sick. He's just as sick as his next-door neighbor who went to bed from this. The halacha is, if his body is not functioning properly, then he is considered a chayla. What does it say in Shulchan Aruch? Ayman le'in Yehudi, you could tell a non-Jew, la'as l'sayis lo'i refuah. You could tell a non-Jew to do a refuah for him, aval ein mechalalin alav, es ha-shavas b'sim ederaisa. So you can't violate Yisur Midaraisa, you can't be Bechal Shabbos for him, but you can ask a non-Jew to do it. So that's clear in Shulchan Aruch. They have a Chayla who's in the category of Chayla Shem Besakana. He needs something done for his illness on Shabbos, and it's also to do that on Shabbos. So let's say he needs to have a hot soup. He needs to have it. It will help him feel better. Now, you can't cook on Shabbos. So you have a non-Jew turn on the flame. Now, in terms of Bishul Akum, it's a very interesting discussion. We're not going to get there right now. Let's just avoid all cases of Bishul Akum right now for this purpose. Let's say there was soup that was already cooked, and the non-Jew is just rewarming it. Okay, so in that case, it would be mutter to have a non-Jew do the cooking for him on Shabbos. The Mordechai, he writes, as far as something very interesting. We'll try to go through this a little quicker than we did last week because I want to get through it. He talks about a case where they would have. He's discussing in his youth how he saw people asked when non-Jews lit fires on Shabbos. They would asked people to go next to the fire to get heat from it, and he couldn't understand that. He couldn't understand for the life of his, and he ends off. He says not only is it mutter to derive benefit from that flame. He writes in the second paragraph that's underlined, "V'lula yitmahu alai." If not for the fact that people would be very skeptical of what I'm saying, hayisi matar filo ha'amira beferish. I would even be matar to go ask the guy straight out, ask the non-Jew straight out. V'kol shekein anochri ba'atzmi oisib b'shvil ha'yisrael she'yisrael mischam u'kenegdai. And he says, "V'inlahach b'makim tzar shir gavi mikchal ena b'shabbos b'nochi af pishi Yisrael oitz meidav paiseach aminu seim b'mamash b'shar v'koshke nachat legar le'nagav le'aved afilo kimaspe." He just says over here, a person who's cold, it's the middle of the winter, he has no heat. A non-Jew comes, it turns on the fire, could certainly benefit from it, and he himself feels very inclined to be matched to ask even lechatchila. What does it say in Shulchan Aruch? In Simin Reisha and Vav Sefei ba'aretz is kares and cold climates. Mutter le'ini Yehudi lasitz madura b'shvil katanim. You're allowed to have a non-Jew make a fire for children. Mutar nagdolim scham and boy, the adults, even though they could withstand the cold, so for them they're not necessarily considered a chayla. But since it was done for children, it's mutter to benefit from that fire. It says afilu b'shvil hagadolim mutter makor gadol. If it's really cold outside, you could even ask a non-Jew to turn the heat on for adults. Why? This is a concept when it comes to cold. When it comes to very difficult cold weather, we consider everybody to be a chayla with regard to that. In Mordechai, it's source number 5. This is in the first paragraph of Sechah Shabbos. This is very interesting how we compare a chayla to a tinek. So a child with regard to coldness is considered to be a chayla. And therefore you could have a non-Jew turn the fire on. And practically speaking, this would be relevant any place where it's really cold, even for adults. If it's really cold and you're uncomfortable, and there's a risk of getting sick from it, you're considered to be a chayla at that point already, and you could ask a non-Jew to turn the heat on. Now, the next thing that I was bringing in over here is that in source number 6 and 7 is that sometimes the needs of ketanim, just the mere fact that they're a katan, gives them the halachic status as a chayla. It doesn't mean that they're actually sick, but their needs on Shabbos, sometimes they really need whatever it is that gives them the status of a chayla. And the example I gave last week was when you have a blackout. You have a blackout on Shabbos, so adults, you can handle it. You go to sleep, figure it out. You don't get too traumatized. For children, when there's a blackout, when the entire house is dark, it could literally be petrifying. It's called biatusa in halacha, and it's considered to be a mamash, a situation of chayli. Now, I don't know what exactly you're going to do, because if there's a blackout, usually there's no power. That's why you don't have any lights. But you ask him to light a candle. Whatever it is, it's mutter to ask a non-Jew. And the Shabur writes, if they need it very much, this is in Siman Reish Ayin Vav as well. But again, I would posit that for children who are in a situation of a blackout on Shabbos, that is considered a chayla, a chayli, and for them you let ask a nadja to do umlacha midaraisa for them. Now the next thing is a tzarech mitzvah. So now everyone, it is a very famous concept called shvus to shvus b'makom mitzvah. Now we're going to see where that comes from. Shvus to shvus means it's a double isser midrabanan. One isser is to ask a non-Jew to do a malacha. Another isser is that the malacha itself is only osmi drabanan. And then depending on what the motivation to get this done is perhaps that could justify it. So that is the most famous opinion that we have. That's matter a person to do a mir la'akum. What would be a classic example of that? You know what? Let's leave the examples because We'll leave the examples for now. But ultimately, the bottom line is: anytime you have an isser midrabanan on Shabbos, it's only isser midrabanan. Let's say mukta. You know, the truth is, we'll get to mukta soon. But there are certain things which are only isser midrabanan on Shabbos. That's why I'm trying to be careful because I don't want to cross into the wrong territory at the wrong place. But ultimately, that would make it mutter. So let's see where this comes from. Now, it's very important to pay attention to the details of this case. It's a Gemara Masechet Erev and Daf Samach Zayin on the base, and it discusses a story that happened with a child, Ahu Yanuka. Now, it doesn't say anything about this child. We have no idea how old this child is. We have no idea what the circumstances surrounding this child was. It's very important to realize that the Gemara doesn't say anything about it, and therefore, when the Rishonim are going to discuss it, there's a lot of leeway to either be very machmir, because you could make an ukimta, you could decide who this child was, what was the situation this child was going through, or you could be very mekel, because again, the way you understood what the case was. So let's say, you have this child whose hot water spilled out, and they needed it. Amar luhu Rabba said, Naisu lei chamimi migav bese. Let's bring the hot water from inside the house. Amar le abaya v'alay avin. We make an erev. How can he carry it? Can't carry the water. There's no erev. So he said, "Nispel hashit ashitav." We'll rely on a shitav mevayis. We're not going to discuss erevin right now, but there's no erev. We'll rely on a shitav mevayis. Amar le halay shatfinan. We didn't do that. We weren't meshatav. We didn't create a partnership over here. So neimar le lenachri leisalei. He told him to go ahead and bring it through a guy. Ask an anju to bring it. That's the Gemara, and the Gemara discusses in great detail what happened over here. We're not going to get into all that right now. Let's skip down. Now Rashi right away, let's see source number 9, Rashi. There's Tapa Chamimei, they have his child whose hot water spilled out. Says Rashi, what was this hot water for? Shayrotz and Lamailai, they wanted to perform Bris Mila. In those days, it was very important that they would wash a child prior and after the Mila, so they had to have this hot water. Now, they didn't have the hot water, so they couldn't do the Bris. That's the way Rashi understands it. Now, the Ran is going to bring for us a bunch of different Paiskim over here, a bunch of different Rishayim who understand this case different, and we're going to go really from one end of the Chumrah spectrum to the next. Das Harav Baalachas Gedolos. You have the Bahag. And he says, Shematir and Amir Lanachar Afil B'davar Shesh by Malacha Gemura. This case is talking about where we were Matir, someone, a person to ask a non-Jew to be over the Isser Midarais of Haitzah. For what? Gabe Machshir Emila. Why? And he explains, Kashu Lefish Hu Mefarash, Hadar Minun, Gabe Hahu Yenuka Dishtapa Chamime, Darminun. I'm just skipping a little bit. So go to the second place where it's underlined. Aval Amir Lanachri. But Amir Lanachri, asking Yananju to do Malacha for you on Shabbos. Afilu b'malacha gemura. Even if it's a real full Malacha, Karina and Shavos, it's considered to be a Shavos. It's only a Nisim Midrabanan. The less be Maisa, and there's no action there because it's just speaking. Kivin le'ovei Yisrael Maisa klal. Since he didn't actually do anything, he just spoke. So he says, V'nitza piskun shadvarim. It comes out. According to the Bahag, in order to be Mekayim, to fulfill the mitzvah of Mila, you have to ask a non-Jew to go ahead and do a Malacha Gemura, Malacha Midaraisa. Then he goes on to discuss whether we can compare this to other mitzvahs. Is it only by Mila or maybe other mitzvahs as well? And he writes, the Rambam did compare it. And then he writes, Benira. Shezeu das harav bala iter shehitro loymer lenarchli lahadlik loyas ener lesudas Shabbos. So this is the opinion which is the most makel, the most lenient. You're allowed to ask, according to the bala iter, you're allowed to ask a non-Jew to go ahead and perform a malacha midaraisa, turning on a light. I'm not discussing modern day light, lighting a candle, literally making a fire, lighting a candle. Why? For what purpose? Not for a milah, but for Suda Shabbos. A mitzvah. Any mitzvah, you'd be able to ask a non-Jew to do a malacha midaraisa. So that is the most lenient, the most makel opinion in this discussion is the Baal Itter, that for any mitzvah you can ask a non-Jew to go ahead and to perform an Isser midaraisa. Aval, he continues, Das Harav Al-Fasizal, Einakein, Shu Sevid Leishari, Amir Lenochim Achshir Emila, Ella Bedavar Shafila De Yisrael, Eni Elam Shemeshvah. According to the Rif, it's only when you have two. You're allowed to ask a non-Jew to only do a malacha midrabanan. Only if the malacha you're discussing is midrabanan, then you're allowed to ask the non-Jew to go ahead and carry it. So what was this case talking about? It's a case where there's no Erev. There's no Erev. Erev is only made in a place where there's Isser midrabanan to carry. You can't make an Erev to carry it from a Shusha Yachad or Shusha Rabim. It's talking about within a Karmelis or other cases. But ultimately, it's only when it's Nisim Midrabanan, and it is for the sake of a mitzvah. Now, he goes on further.
According to that, you ask a guy to do a malacha with a shinoi?
Okay, we'll discuss that. That's a very good point. And Lamaisa, the answer is yes. Rabbi Yashiv has a, you know what, if you skip to page, I probably didn't get to it last week, page 9. You know what? Let's save it. But on page 9 is where I have the topic of Shinoi. So that's the Rif. And then we have the Ramban. The Ramban is more Machmir. He says, Aval Ramban Zal Sever, Tvechil Gavr Nami Lashari El Bemila Bilvad. Even by a Malacha Midra Banan, it's only Mutter by Mila. In other words, it's a special halacha for Mila. Then we have the Rambam. The Rambam says that it's asking a guy to do a malacha midrabanan, and he stretches it, he says, for anything. Let's just read it in Start Source number 11, it's Parak Vav Halacha Tes. Hilchas Shabbos Dovrish Ein Malacha. It's not a Malacha. In other words, it's only Midrabanan. Ve'eni Aser Ala Asayis B'Shabbos El Mishmash Vos. It's only Aser Midrabanan. Mutal Yisrael Emer Le Goy La Asayis B'Shabbos. Let's ask it on just to do it on Shabbos. Ve'hu Sh'yish Sham Miktas Chayli. So now, again, I don't want to go through this right now, but when I learned Tachas Refu, we'll get there, Amir Tashem, I believe I came up with 7 categories of illness. So Miktas Chayli is not Chayli Sheish by Sakana. It's a lower level. So clearly, we saw at the beginning of the Shir that you're allowed to ask a non-Jew to do a Malach Min Daraisa for a Chayla. Why is Rabbim saying over here that only a Malach Min Darabanan? The answer is because it's Miktas Chayli. It's a lower category. He's not really sick. We'll define that. We'll define that Amir Tashem in due time. But it's not somebody who has the flu. And he says, so the Rambam is more expansive. The Rambam says, as long as there's a good or significant reason why you need it done, doesn't have to be a mitzvah, it doesn't have to be a chayla, as long as there's a real need for it.
It's still a shos to shos.
Yes. Because if you just go through, I just bulleted it on the top of the next page. The Bahag, he's only matir, a malach midaraisa for tzarech mila. Okay, bal iter, a malach midaraisa for any mitzvah. He's the most mekel. Rif, it's only a malach midrabanan for mila. No. Yeah. Right, according to the Rif, only an Isser Midrabanan for Mila, and the Rambam is an Isser Midrabanan for any mitzvah, and the Ramban is similar, it's only an Isser Midrabanan for Mila. Okay? Now this is where it comes, right? This is a big chiddush over here. In source number 12, Ramah in Simon Reisha in Vav. Yeshayimrim demutra loymer le'en Yehudi lehadlik le'ner l'sud Shabbos. Whose opinion is this? Bal Iter. Right? Some say you let ask a non-Jew to light a candle for Suda the Shabbos, Mishum the Sphere lay, the Mutra Mirla in Yehudi, Filu Malacha Gemura, Pamaka Mitzvah. You let ask a non-Jew to do Malacha for you, even Malacha Midaraisa, as long as it's for a mitzvah. And he says, Shapiza, no, Gu Rabbi Malacha Vadarva, let Sabbos, and Yehudi Lahadik Neris, with Sarah Suda. Many have followed this practice, but Frat Suda's Chasna, Emila, Vein Moich Biyadam. But he says, even the Ramah, seems, if you're reading these words, it seems to be his mekel. He's mekel for the shita of the Baal Iter. You let ask a non-Jew to do melachah midaraisa for any mitzvah, but he says, "V'yesh lehachmir mokim she'ein tzarech gadol." The Rebbe paisim chokmir as far as it. Even the Ramah, whose mekel says, "Don't do this unless it's a real significant need." Mishnah Brewer right away jumps in. It's in Reish Hayavav Sukkah Mechav Dalad. V'shalah hichmir af l'tzarech gadol. The shalah was machmir. And the Mishnah Brura was very machmer on this. It continues going on. But in Sivka and Chafhei, Mishnah Brura does say, in the case of a Mikshal Varabim, where the Erev came down, in such a case, he says to rely on the Baal Iter. In other words, you're better off relying on the Baal Iter and having a non-Jew fix the Erev like this. People are not going to be Mechal Shabbos with carrying than to have people be Mechal Shabbos. In other words, he put it into perspective. The Mishnah Brura did not want to rely on this Baal Iter. And he quotes from the Shalah not to rely on it. But he does say, in a case where there's a Mikshal Darabim, people are going to end up in a worse situation, yeah, of course you can rely on the Baal Iter. Now again, in Simin Shin Zayin Sifhei, this is where the Mechaber passes the Halacha according to the Rambam. The Mechaber, so for Svardim. Halacha is Davarsh Enim Halacha, Vein Asal Asas Beshabbos El Mishmash Vos, Mutal Yisrael Leimel En Yehudi Lasas Beshabbos, Hushi Yesham Mixas Chayli, Oye Yitzar Lech Davar Tzar Chabbi, Oye Mepnei Mitzvah. Ketzad? He's literally quoting the words of the Rambam. Ketzad, what would be a case where it's Mutal to ask a non-Jew to do Malacha for you on Shabbos? Oye Yisrael Leim Yehudi Beshabbos, Lalis B'ilon Havi Shefer Let Koyet Kiyas Mitzvah. You could go ahead and ask a non-Jew to climb up a tree, which is Nisim Drabbanon, to get a Shefer down. What do you need a Shefer for? To blow it. Kias mitzvah. Now this is a very interesting example that he gives. This is an example of the Rambam. Why is it interesting?
Blow blow shofar on Shabbos.
Exactly, you don't blow shofar on Shabbos. That's what he's talking about. Okay, so the simple answer is it's a Yom Tov. Same halacha applies on Yom Tov. Right, he just picked any case. But there are those who are medayik from here that even if the mitzvah that you're doing is not for Shabbos, you need it for tomorrow. You're still allowed to ask him to do it, which is a bit of a stretch, and I don't want to spend too much time on this. I mean, if I'm making, I don't know, a chasana on Thursday night, I need someone to go buy flowers, so I could ask a non-Jew on Shabbos. Well, picking flowers is midaraisa. Let's say, just trying to think of something that you need which is midrabanan for playing music, right? Yeah, it's just an interesting case. Why you need to ask the non-Jew on Shabbos to go ahead and play the music? But just like, think of a case. I don't want to spend too much time on this. But ultimately, there are those, I believe, the Archa Shabbos, Rav Rubin, he writes that you've arrived from here, that even if the mitzvah is not for Shabbos, even if it's for after Shabbos, it's mutter. Okay? Now, again, if you look over here in the Ramah, L'kaman sim tuf kut pei vav, pasak lahatir. So Ramah wants to keep reminding us that although the Mechaber is of the opinion that it's usher to ask a non-Jew to do Malacha for you on Shabbos if it's Malacha Midaraisa, that is his opinion. But there is the opinion of the Baal Itter who is Mako. Alright, and the Mishnah Berurah again, in Simon and Shin Zayin, in Sifhei, in Sifkan Chav Dalet, he wants you to know not to rely on this Ramah. Okay, he says again, I Ikvar Kosev Ramah La'el Diyesh La'achmer Bezeh V'chein Iker Kidei Zu Hurak Tasi Chida V'rif V'rosh V'ram V'oid Kamigdel V'shenim Cholkin Ralel V'ach L'inin Milim Tzadet Hamagin Avram L'kamam Sifin Shilam Adalf L'sma Echad Eizu V'ayim Be'el Rabash. Basically, Mishnah Berurah wants you to know not to rely on this. Now, Rav Moshe deals with this. If you look in this tshuva, which I quoted over here, in source number 16, he writes in the third line on page number 9, Kol makom letzarech mitzvah derabim, when it comes to a mitzvah of a rabbim, it's not only a michshol derabim, a mitzvah derabim, ein lahachmer, kedisa mishnah berurah sham sifkan chav hei, shem prim agadah mutal loy, it's talking about the air conditioner in that case. But ultimately, the Ramesha again, he goes along, he seems to be machmer, but he gives this leeway of mitzvah derabim. Now I want to just say something that I was mekabel from two of my rebbeim in Eretz Yisrael when I learned there. The way the Mishnah Berurah paskins is the way that generally Klal Yisrael is naik, is that we don't ask a non-Jew to do malacha for us on Shabbos with a malacha midaraisa, unless we're talking about a chayla. But if you're talking about just a tzarech mitzvah, the tzarech of Shabbos suda, or other needs, we don't rely on the Baal Itter to do malacha midaraisa. But it was the way it has been said to me was the minig midar dar before the Mishnah Berurah came around was to rely on the Itter. Once the Mishnah Berurah wrote his psak, it was accepted by people. And I have heard from there's a sefer called Ma'ara Shabbos written by Rav Moshe Yadler. Happens to be a fascinating sefer. But one of his talmidim told me, he was telling it to me, I used to do shemesh by this, by you know who Rabbi Wiener is, Shmuel Wiener?
Town?
No, not town. He lives in Eretz Yisrael. I used to do shemesh with him. He told me, as well as Rav Berkowitz, you keep this Baal Itter in your pocket. And as a Rav, you keep this Baal Itter in your pocket. You don't always take it out. You don't always use it. But realize it's an opinion that it's a recorded opinion in the Rishonim. You're not digging something up from some lost sefer somewhere that no one ever relied on. It's an opinion which is in the Rishonim. It's brought down in the mainstream Rishonim. It's brought down in the Ran. It's brought down in Shulchan Aruch, the Rama brings it down. And on top of that, it was an opinion which was relied upon for many years, as testified to by the Rama. But again, the Rama himself tells us not to rely on it too often. But that being the case, realize that as much as we're going with the Psak of the Mishnah Berurah, in most mainstream cases, you have to keep in mind that this opinion of the Baal Itter exists. This opinion of the Baal Itter exists, and it's a valid opinion. So if it comes relevant, then use it. I will tell you that I've seen it used a few times. There are some Paiskim who are more liberal with it, some who are more machmer, but it's always worth it to at least discuss it with somebody. In a case where it's relevant, where you don't think it's mutter for a person to ask, for whatever reason it is, and the very pressing issue, it's worthwhile discussing with a Rav, because there are many cases where Rabbanim are going to rely on it. Now,
does it coincide with Tzarech for the Rabbim, or not even?
So for sure, we know already that we came for Tzarech, Rabbim, the Mishnah Berurah was Mekel, and Mesha was Mekel.
So that you don't even have to rely on that. I mean,
so someone asked me after the first shiur, someone asked me, I don't understand, Tzarech Ian on Alex. Here in the shul, we always have Alex doing malacha for us on Shabbos. So now, when you say always, I don't know what always means. But in many, many cases, dealing with a shul on Shabbos, I'm sure, I don't know how many of you remember this past summer, how hot it was. The air conditioner wasn't working. It's literally impossible to daven. So that is clearly, that's what Moshe is talking about in his tshuva. That's clearly a case where you need that air conditioner to be on. This is a mitzvah daven. People who came to shul, they want to daven, they can't daven. The talking in shul gets out of control. The people end up not being in the shul. They're outside. People go home. In such a case, it's a mitzvah to rely on the Baal Itter. Even if we're talking about, we could discuss whether air conditioner is midaraisa or midrabanan. But even if it's midaraisa, using a system, a heater is definitely midaraisa. In these cases, so heater, let's talk about a case where it's not going to make you sick. But again, you have people in shul who can't withstand the cold. So in these cases, you have the Baal Itter to rely on, and I don't think it's very novel for a person to go ahead and decide that he's not going to rely on this on the Baal Itter. So that's something to keep in mind. It's a valid opinion. How often you want to use it, how often you want to rely on it. The reason why we're very hesitant to do it is because if you rely on it in every single case, almost every single case of Amir al-Akum will be mutar on Shabbos. Because you could always find some semblance of a mitzvah in everything. Einik Shabbos, Tzarech Suda, Shalom Bayis, right? Just Tamazai, Shalom in the house, the kids are going to stop fighting. In other words, there's an endless mitzvahs that we could have, which would be matter a person to ask a non-Jew to do even melach midaraisa. So we clearly understand why even the Rama was reluctant to use it. But it is an opinion of the Rishayim, and it is an opinion which is brought down in Shulchan Aruch. So in very pressing cases, we do rely on the opinion of the Baal Itter. Enough said. Now, what?
There's two things. One is b'malka mitzvah, and one is something that applies to the Rabbim.
Right.
Or is it both?
Well, it would have to be both. It would have to be a mitzvah de rabbim. But like I'm saying, most cases where it's going to be a need of a rabbim, it's going to be a mitzvah. Right? Which case is not a mitzvah on Shabbos? Einik Shabbos is generally applied to almost every single case. Einik Shabbos is a mitzvah, midaraisa.
Right.
Right, so it's almost going to be irrelevant that you have a tzibur of people that need something where it's not a mitzvah.
So we can't. So you're saying we're not applying the Baal Itter in a case where it's your own home, it's just you.
So yeah, so you're sitting at home and your light goes out and you wanna read. It's a magazine, it's an exciting magazine, you're enjoying it. Mm-hmm. Right? So now your light goes out. You want the non-Jew to come turn the light on. So you could theoretically say, it's a mitzvah, Einik Shabbos. So I go ask a non-Jew to turn the light on. Theoretically, you'd be able to work that into it. That's where the Poskim are very reluctant. They didn't
even
want
though it's not at Tzarech for the Rabbim.
Right. Theoretically, you could blame it on the Baal Itter. So that already, the Rama is already not happy about that. We don't just do that. The case he was talking about was Shalosh Shudas. The lights already went out. We don't have electric lights. And they burn out by the time Shalosh Shudas comes. And that's where the Chassidim get the minute to sit in the dark by Shalosh Shudas. But ultimately, he says it was known. People would ask non-Jews to light candles there. That's clearly a mitzvah. Shalosh Shudas. Want to have some light. Still, in that case, the Ramah was reluctant to have you rely on it. But if it's a real mitzvah, derabim, where there's a kehil, there's people, there's a whole group of people who need it, that's where we're going to be making. Now let's just do Shinui before we go into the next. We'll save the next topic for next week. Shinui, you asked about it. So now in Simon Shin Mem, it's the source number 17. Simon Shin Mem Sef Aleph. There's an Isser Aser Litol Sare Otzipar. A person is not allowed to pull out his hair or his fingernails. Bein biyad, bein bikeli. He can't pull it off with his fingers. He can't use a keli. Bein laatzbe, bein lacher. V'chayv al shtei saris. And he goes on. He continues on. It's Aser for a person to pull hairs out on Shabbos or to cut his fingernails. And Mishnah Brura, Sivkat and Beis, source 18, Bein Bekeli, after Machaber Hish V'Yad Lekeli, Hu Rak Li'i Sura, Debekulin Yesh Isser, Avol Inin Chiyuva Yesh Chilik Beineim, Debiyad Potter, B'chol Gavni, Shein Derech Geziza V'kach B'chol. B'chli Chaya B'chol Gavni, Devli told that the Geza is... Alright, next. Basically what he says is, you pull your fingernails off with your hand, this may drop on it. That's not a normal way to cut. What's the problem of cutting fingernails off? It's geizes. What's the problem of cutting hair off? Geizes. The av malacha of geizes. If you use a keli, that's no way of doing it. But yeah, it's already a shinoi.
And it's based on the general public or based on the person himself? Like his it's own and nails.
Society. Right. Yeah, societal norms. Yeah. So doing it with your, batting it off with your teeth or with your hands, that's an issue midrabbana. But it's aser. Now, look at this very interesting case. And I was asked about this specifically, not this case, but a very similar case. Well, maybe we'll talk about it afterwards, just 2 weeks ago. V'isha sheshak chalitol ha'tzipar nayim e'erev Shabbos. A woman forgot to cut her fingernails in Erev Shabbos. V'iru tzvilos b'lo Shabbos. She has to go to the mikveh tonight. So it's Friday night. A woman needs to go to the mikveh. And she knows, she learned from a Kala teacher very well, how important it is to cut her fingernails before she goes to the mikveh. She knows. And the Ramah says that if a woman goes to the mikveh without cutting her fingernails, she has to go back again. Okay, so now she finds herself in a very, very interesting situation. She's standing in the mikveh. It's Friday night. It's time for her to go in. She didn't cut her fingernails. What should she do? So says Mishnah Brura, Masak Amagam Ram Shatayim La Evli Glulim. Tell a non-Jew, Lito Biyad. Ask the non-Jew to use her fingers to pull it off. Why? It's Nisar Mir La'akum. The guy is doing it with a shinoi. And it's Baka Mitzvah, it's Tevila. And he writes at the end, E.F. Shrabiyad, Mutra al Yodai, Afila Bakeli. If it's too hard to use your fingernails, which I suppose would be in most cases, I don't think I would ever want to use my fingers to peel someone else's fingernails. And definitely not want someone else doing it on mine. So it's come out impossible to have that case be work out practically. So then you let ask a non-Jew to use a Keli. Why? So why?
Well, you're not going to ask them next week to do the same thing. I mean, it's an unusual.
Why not?
It's not the lo shchiach. I mean, it's not going to. Right, how often does that? I mean
that is the lumdus of why it would be mutter. But because I mean, it would be mutter. In other words, the asking to do it next week is only in terms of benefiting from the malacha. But why are you allowed to ask it? That's the question. Why are you allowed to ask it? So using your fingernails, we understand it makes a lot of sense. It's a shvus asking Anju to do malacha. Is a shvus. The malach itself here is midrabanan because the non-Jew is using her fingernails to cut the other woman's fingernails. So that's mutter. It's b'malka mitzvah. And why should she let use a keli? It's midaraisa. So there's a huge biur halacha over here. And ultimately, what he comes out is that cutting fingernails is be'etzem and malacha shein tzricha l'gufa. We didn't get into all these things. If malacha shein tzricha l'gufa means that I'm not doing it for the purpose of a positive result. When you do geziza, why do you shear the wool of an animal? It's like, I want wool, I want to make a coat. When a person cuts their fingernails, do you know anybody that wants the fingernails? No one wants the fingernails. Now, there is an opinion in the Ramban that it's considered a real malacha because, and Bi'ur Halacha brings this, because it's miyapa the guf, makes the guf look nicer. But ultimately, it's a malacha shein tzricha l'gufa, which is also, it's a big machlekes in the Rishonim, it's a massive sugya, but the way we paskin is that it's only osmin drabanan. So for a person to do a malacha where he has an ulterior motive other than the malacha, she doesn't need to collect her fingernails now. She needs them cut because she needs to go into the mikvah. That's what she's cutting her fingernails for. So it's malacha she has shrichel gufa, so it's an ismi drabana, so you're allowed to ask the non-Jew to use a keli. Now it happens to be, in terms of doing on the fingernails, on the toenails, everyone's matzah to use. The Bir Halacha writes it as well, and Mishnah Berurah writes it. Using for the toenails, that everyone's matzah to ask a non-Jew to use a keli. So, in other words, that's what comes out over here.
What's the chilek?
So the chilek is
toenails, so it's not, definitely not something that's going to beautify or anything.
No, he says the opposite. I'm sorry, I just made a mistake. He says the toenails, they should. And toenails is better for them to just to clean out the fingernails. It's something very interesting that when it comes to Yeridea, we're very machmir with fingernails. If it's ever relevant, a person should call a rabbi to find out if a woman has to go back to the mikvah. But the Ramah says a woman has to go back to the mikvah again. Now, on Shabbos, if he can't do anything, if you look in this Mishnah Berurah, I only underline the part which was relevant to Amir Lanachri. But let's say there's no guy. She doesn't have a portable guy that she brings with her wherever she goes. She's in the mikvah. She wants to get home. There's no guy there. What's she going to do? Wait around all night till someone's standing on the street for someone to pull up? Says Mishnah Berurah. Then ain't Avi Glulim. If there's no non-Jews there, nearest Yish Lisbech Bashas at Chakal and Nikos Tinakir Tachas Tziparim Bavach Tain Hetish La Yibashim Tinov. Very interesting. Mishnah Berurah is mat to her to clean out her fingernails well, and Lechatchila she could be tevil without cutting her fingernails. So it's a very interesting thing that during the week, in many cases, we'll require the woman to go back to the mikvah again if she didn't cut her fingernails. But here, Lechatchila, we'll let her go in without cutting the fingernails as long as she made sure they were clean.
If there was a guy there, I mean, could she just rely on the itter because it's tzarach mitzvah? And
yeah. So again, we're in the Mishnah Brewer's world. Mishnah Brewer doesn't let us rely on the itter, okay. So he's giving us all these etzes. But yeah, lamaisa again. If it's relevant, someone should ask a shayla.
The guy being there, I guess, is the hardest part.
So I'll tell you a very interesting case that came up, and I saw a similar case from Silverstein. This was someone asked me, a woman. She bench licht already, so she was Mekabel Shabbos. And she realized she wanted to put Vaseline on her hands, Aquaphor, whatever it was. Now she can't do it on Shabbos, it's an Isser. It's an Isser of Mareach. It's thick, I mean, especially with real Vaseline, it's thick, it's a real problem. So she wanted to know, could she ask her husband, who wasn't Mekabel Shabbos yet, to smear it on her?
Is that different than the case we said earlier about? Did we say it 2 weeks ago that you can ask a Jew to?
Yeah,
who wasn't Mekabel
Shabbos? Yeah, so that we didn't discuss that. That's the answer. In that case, to ask a Jew is much more kal. I saw an interesting case by, and in other words, we have to discuss the issue of Misayeya. We'll get to that in a minute. There's an issue of Misayeya because you need her hand there for it. I'll give you an example. I didn't check it up recently, but I saw it by Reb Zilberstein. There's a story with a chassan who was the Shabbos of his afruf. I believe that this was the case, and he was getting a haircut very close to Shabbos, and the machine broke in the middle of getting the haircut, and the guy who was giving the haircut couldn't finish the haircut in time. Now it's already, it's past Shkia now. And walking into his afruf looking like a clown, he said, "Mutzah to ask a non-Jew to finish the haircut." What do you think about that? So during Ben Hashmashas is one discussion because again it's very it kind of makes an automatic shvus to shvus because the whole Shabbos at that point in time is lav daf gos min deresa. But let's just it's out of Ben Hashmashas.
Why is it b'makom mitzvah?
So b'makom, I mean, covered of brius, busha.
Where brius don't make Shabbos.
And what's the issue of taking a haircut? Goyes is also. So do we have a malach shen tzrich leguf over here? Does he want those hairs that he's cutting off? So here it's definitely be miyapa his guf. He's making his guf look much better. But again, the malach of cutting the hair, is that evadi asma deraisa? So he's using a machine to do it. It's not a shinoi, but maybe it's a malach shen shrich guf altogether. So you ask a non-Jew is malach mederes, malach medrabanan. It's malach hashen shirich legufa. It's makam busha gedayla for him. Covered our brias. Everyone's coming to his thing. I believe our Zilberstein was mater. That's similar to this case here in this mission of Baruch.